Turning to God's word today, the subject that I want us to consider is the great joy of Christ's birth. The great joy of Christ's birth. As the Lord Jesus was born of Mary in Bethlehem, his birth was surrounded by poverty and lowliness. He was born amongst the animals because there was no room for them in the inn. And his cradle was a manger, an old animal trough. Amongst the people in Bethlehem that night, no one was particularly interested in this newborn babe. People were just getting on with their lives as if nothing special or unique had happened. However, even though the birth of the Savior was unspectacular and unnoticed, the announcement of his birth was the complete opposite to this. Soon after the Lord Jesus was born, his birth was published by the angel of the Lord to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem. We read of this in verses 8 to 11 here in Luke 2. See again what it says in these words. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What an experience this must have been for those men that night. Verse 9 speaks of how the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. This would suggest that while these men sat in the quietness and darkness of the night watching over their flock, without warning, they suddenly were surrounded with an extraordinary light, surprisingly lustrous in its brightness and radiance. And as they tried to come to terms with this glorious light, they also became aware that over them stood the angel of the Lord. This truly was a marvelous and magnificent experience these lowly shepherds had. And it's no surprise that we read at the end of verse 9, and they were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. Which literally means they were exceedingly alarmed and terrified. They were so shocked by this sudden happening. The appearance of the angel of the Lord. The brightness of the and glory that surrounded him. That these men were terrified. This is what gripped their hearts. This fear, this terror, this shock, this surprise. As the angel of the Lord came upon them. Yet in the midst of their shock and surprise, they were to receive a most wonderful message. As the angel of the Lord began to speak to them, he said, Be not afraid, but instead rejoice and be glad, for I am come to proclaim to you the great news of the Savior's birth. See again in verse 10, the very first words the angel spoke to the shepherds that night. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Notice here, as the angel published the news of Christ's birth, he emphasized that this was a message of good tidings and great joy to all people. This is what the angel wanted these men to understand. The message he brought them was one of great joy and gladness. Indeed, from this passage we see that the whole atmosphere on the hillside dramatically changed from being one of fear to being one filled with the greatest joy and jubilation. See what it says in verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We are told here of how the angelical choirs of heaven suddenly burst into song and sang the praises of the Lord. What jubilation and euphoria these humble shepherds were brought to witness as the news of Christ's birth was brought to them. They were brought to see this was a most joyful, this was a most glad, a most wonderful message. We should also note here how the shepherds themselves behaved after they made their way to the one the angel had told them of. See what it says in verse 20 here in Luke 2. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. These men were now also filled with joy and praise as they came to understand something of the significance of the baby who had just been born in Bethlehem. And so the publication of the Savior's birth was surrounded by the greatest joy and jubilation. It was the declaration of good tidings and great joy to all people. But why was this the case? Why was the announcement that the Lord Jesus had been born of Mary such good and glad news for all men? Why were the angels singing God's praises here? Why did the shepherds return from seeing the babe Jesus filled with praise and worship and adoration of God? This time of the year, we especially remember the Savior's birth. And we sing Christmas carols, many of which speak of the joy that Christ was born. For example, Charles Wesley wrote, "Joyful all ye nations rise, joy in the triumph of the skies. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem." There's the thought here of great jubilation. Joyful all ye nations rise. And what Charles Wesley said, listen, all you people join together, all nations join together in praise because Christ has been born. That's the thought he's expressing. Isaac Watt puts it this way, joy to the world, the Lord is come. These men all wrote of the great joy that should fill the hearts of all men and all women at the birth of the Lord Jesus. Yet why did the angels rejoice that night? Why did the shepherds rejoice at the birth of the Savior? And why should we be filled with joy and jubilation at the coming of Christ into this world as a babe? Well, in verse 11, here in Luke 2, the angel of the Lord very powerfully explained to the shepherds the reason why the birth of the Lord Jesus was such good tidings of great joy to all people. I want us then to consider these words in verse 11 and to know two things about the great joy of Christ's birth. Two things about the great joy of Christ's birth. In the first place, notice with me here, the birth of the Lord Jesus was one of great joy because of its promise. Because of its promise. See again what it says in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Notice here one of the ways the angel describes this baby that Mary had just given birth to is as Christ. The angel refers to this child as Christ. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now this was something that would have immediately caught the attention of the shepherds. In fact, this is the one thing that they would have focused upon more than anything else. Christ had been born. Christ had come. You see, the name Christ literally means the anointed one or the Messiah. And this is what the Jewish people were looking for. This is what they were waiting on and anticipating. The coming of the Anointed One, the coming of the Messiah into this world to deliver them. The promise of the Christ or of the Messiah is really the central message of the Old Testament scriptures. This is what the Old Testament is all about. The promise of Christ's coming. And really this is the central truth. This is the central message of the Old Testament. Christ is coming to save us from our sin. Today, as we think about Christ's birth, as we think about our Savior, we by faith look back. And we look back to that time when Christ came into this world and he died for our salvation. But God's people in the Old Testament, they didn't look back by faith. They looked forward to by faith. They looked forward to that time when the Messiah would come. When Christ would come. And so this is the central message of the Old Testament scriptures. The coming of Christ, the coming of the Messiah. The Jewish people then who read and studied the Old Testament scriptures lived in expectation and hope of the coming of this promised Messiah. And this was their constant hope and expectation. The coming of the one who is the Messiah to deliver them. We have a wonderful example of this as the disciple Andrew became a follower of the Lord Jesus. One of the first things which Andrew did after he became a disciple was to go and tell his brother Simon Peter about the Savior. And we read of this in John 1 verse 41. And this is what it says. He, that is Andrew, first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. This was the message that Andrew brought to Peter. We've found the Messiah and the Messiah. We've found the Christ. We've found the Anointed One. This is why Andrew was so excited as he met the Lord Jesus, because he realized that this was Christ, the one that had been promised in the Old Testament scriptures. This was the one that was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. Therefore, as the angel proclaimed to the shepherds that the one born of Mary was the Christ, it was a message of great joy, because he was declaring that the promised Messiah, the one God had said would come to save his people, had now been born. The waiting was over. The Christ, the Messiah, had come. And therefore this was an occasion of joy. Oh, the waiting was over. Now the one who had been promised from of old had stepped onto the scene of time. Now the wonderful truth that the birth of the Lord Jesus was the coming of the promised one is something which still ought to fill the hearts of all men with the greatest joy and gladness. We can understand why it filled the shepherds with gladness and joy that night. But yet it ought to still fill us with joy and gladness. Indeed, this is something that should move all men to rejoice in the Lord and to worship him with great delight. And there are a number of reasons why the birth of the promised Messiah should move men to worship and praise the Lord. We can say men should rejoice in the birth of the Messiah because of what it proves. Because of what it proves. You see, the birth of Christ proves, beyond any shadow of doubt, that the God of the Bible is the true God. And we can trust him with all of our hearts. Really, that's what the coming of Christ proves in a most emphatic way. Sometimes people say, well, how do you know what you believe is the truth? How do you know the Bible's the truth? There's lots of religions out there in this world. How do you know you've got the true religion? Well, the birth of Christ proves this. For some 4,000 years before Christ was born, God had told men that he would send them a Savior. And the Lord even described many things about his coming, about the coming of the Savior. For example, in Isaiah 7 verse 14, some 700 years before Christ's birth, God declared, Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now this happened 700 years before Christ was born. God, by a spirit, moved Isaiah to declare that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And this is exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. Happened exactly as God said it would. In Micah 5 verse 2, again around 700 years before the Lord Jesus was born, God said, But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And again, this is exactly what happened. Where was the Messiah born? Where was Christ born? In Bethlehem. And the Lord said this would happen 700 years before it would take place. And it happened exactly as he said it would. You could also think of what Jeremiah spoke about in Jeremiah 31 verse 15. Some 600 years before the coming of Christ. This is what we read in Jeremiah 31:15. Thus saith the Lord, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. This of course speaks about what Herod did. Remember what Herod did after he heard of the birth of the Lord Jesus? He tried to find the Christ child, but when he couldn't, he slaughtered in Bethlehem all the children under 2 years and under. And there was great lamentations, there was great weeping by the mothers in Israel. And the Lord said this would happen. The Lord said all of these things would happen. And all of these things did happen. The virgin birth, the place where Christ was born, Bethlehem. Even the slaughter that would take place after his birth. The Lord, hundreds of years before him, said these things would take place, and they happened exactly. Exactly as God said they would. Therefore, as Christ was born, just as God said he would, his birth proves God's truthfulness. It reveals that which God says we can fully believe and trust. We can rest our souls and our eternal welfare upon that which God says. And this is the great evidence. This is the greatest evidence of all that what God said is the truth, or says is the truth. Because of the birth of Christ. Because it happened just as God said it would. Right down to the very last detail. The most marvelous thing, the most wonderful thing, Christ come into this world, happened exactly as God said it would. And therefore we can trust this God. We can lean our hearts upon him. We can fully depend upon him. And that ought to give us a sense of joy and peace today. That our God's the true God. Our God's the God of truth. The living God. And he's proven this to us through the birth of his Son. But then men should also rejoice in the birth of the Messiah, not only because of what it proves, but also because of what it proclaims. See again what it's, the angel sang in verse 14 here in Luke 2. Verse 14 says, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. Goodwill toward men." Notice here the angels declared in their singing that the birth of the Messiah was goodwill toward men. The words goodwill literally mean kindness. We could read this verse, on earth peace, kindness toward man. And so the coming of the Messiah, the birth of Christ, was God revealing his kindness, his grace, his love towards man. That's what it proclaims. Know what kindness, what love is revealed as the eternal person of God, the Son, humbled himself. Became a babe in Mary's womb and was born of her. What love is proclaimed? He was the creator of all things and is the creator of all things. He is the eternal Son of God, who from eternity dwelt in light unapproachable. He came into this world, humbled himself, and became a helpless babe. A babe in Mary's arms. That needed to be fed. That needed to be changed. That needed to be protected. That needed to be cared for. This is what Christ did. That he might be our Savior. What love his coming into this world proclaims. And we cannot understand this. Why would God be kind and gracious towards sinners? Why would he be good and gracious towards us who have broken his laws and transgressed his commandments and have rebelled against him in so many ways? But this is what the birth of Christ proclaims. The love of God towards sinful, undeserving, hell-deserving man. And this should cause us to rejoice. This should cause us to be filled with the greatest joy and gladness. God has manifested his love, not by sending an angel into this world, but by sending his only begotten Son, the darling of his bosom, to humble himself, to take our humanity into union with his deity, to become our Savior. And so the birth of the Lord Jesus is one of great joy, not only because of its promise, or because of its promise. It was the coming of the promised Messiah, the one who God had said would come in love to deliver his people. And this should fill us with joy, this should fill us with gladness, that this promised one in love has come. He's come to be our Redeemer and Savior. And so the birth of the Lord Jesus was one of great joy because of its promise. But then in the second place, notice with me here today, The birth of the Lord Jesus is one of great joy because of its purpose. Because of its purpose. See again what the angel declared to the shepherds in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Notice here the angel also referred to the child that had just been born as the Saviour. Not only as Christ, but also as the Saviour. This clearly revealed the purpose for which this baby had been born. It was to bring salvation. It was to bring deliverance to men and women. He came as the Saviour. Therefore, this was his purpose, to save. As the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph prior to Mary giving birth, he also made Joseph aware of the great purpose for the birth of this child. This is what the angel said to Joseph in Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation, or Savior. That's what the name Jesus means. Jehovah is salvation or Savior. And so Joseph, just like the shepherds, was made aware of the great purpose for which this child was born. He was born to save his people from their sins. And this is something we must always keep in focus as we think of the birth of the Lord Jesus. He was born that he might be our Savior and save us from the mess and misery of sin that we're naturally found in. This is ultimately why he was born and why we should rejoice in it. Because here we have the birth of the Savior, the one that came into this world to lift us out of the mess and misery of sin that we had fallen into. There are many people at this time of the year, and they will speak about Christ's birth. And they like what they term the Christmas story. They like to hear of it. And all of these things. They enjoy Christmas, carols, and all the traditional activities of Christmas. And yet they miss and ignore the great purpose which Christ entered into this world. It was to save us from our sin. A glorious purpose. A wonderful purpose. How important it is that we never lose sight of the truth why Christ was made in the likeness of man and was born of Mary in Bethlehem. It was that he might be our Savior and save us. That we might come to know salvation. That's why he came. He came that we might come to know salvation. God's salvation in our lives. Now as we think of this great purpose for which Christ was born, to save us from our sin, we must consider how the Lord Jesus, by coming into this world and taking our humanity into union with his deity, is able to save people from their sin. In what way did the Son of God provide salvation for his people by being born of Mary and living in this world as a man amongst men? How is this possible? How did the birth of this baby that Mary had bring salvation, God's salvation, to men? Well, Christ was born to save men and women from their sin in two ways. Firstly, Christ was born to save sinners from the punishment of sin. He was born to save us from the punishment of sin. This is the most dreadful thing about sin. It brings punishment. Eternal, never-ending punishment upon man. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9 speaks of how all those that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. This is the shocking reality about sin. Sin, our sin, will bring God's punishment. It will bring God's eternal punishment upon us. And this is what we need to understand. This is what we need to grasp today. You're a sinner, and if your sin is not dealt with, then you will suffer eternally for this sin in the dreadful place God calls hell. Sin brings punishment. Listen, hear that today. Grasp that today. If your sin is not dealt with, you will suffer eternal doom in the caverns of the damned. However, the glorious news of the gospel is Christ was born. He was born to take the punishment of sin in the stead of his people. That's why Christ was born. That's why he's the Savior. He came into this world to take our punishment, the punishment of our sin in our place. Listen to the words of Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. The Lord Jesus came into this world. He was born of Mary to give his life a ransom for many. This, of course, took place at the cross. Christ laid down his life. There, he took our sins upon himself. Our sins were laid upon him. They were placed into his account. And the innocent one, the holy one, became the guilty one in our stead, and suffered in our place, and bore the punishment, the full punishment, for all the sins of his believing people. And this is what Christ did as our Savior. Christ was born to die. He was born to die to save us from the punishment of sin. And I want you to remember this today. I want you to grasp this today. This is why he's the Savior. Not to give you some nice fluffy little story that is good to hear around Christmas time. Nonsense. He was born to die, to suffer the wrath and the judgment of God, to deliver you from your sin. This is the purpose of his coming. To take your punishment as your Savior. This is why we can rejoice in his coming. This is why we ought to be singing like the angels in heaven with great gladness. Because one has come to stand in our place and to suffer our wrath that we might be delivered from it. Eternal judgment. He saves because he takes the punishment. Christ was born to save sinners from the punishment of sin. But then we can also say Christ was born to save sinners from the poverty of sin. From the poverty of sin. When our first parents sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, their sin not only brought punishment, it also brought upon them and upon their children great poverty. Spiritual poverty. You see, when God originally created Adam, he blessed Adam with the riches of righteousness, holiness, and goodness. God made Adam in the most glorious way, after his own image. Holy and righteous and pure and wise and good. As Adam possessed these things, he had the ability to earn for himself a place in heaven for all eternity. And this was the way God made man. He made man in the most loving and gracious way because he made man perfect. And perfect man had the ability to earn eternal life. Adam wasn't made with eternal life. But God gave to him the ability to earn this for himself. Made him perfect. Made him righteous. Made him good. And therefore Adam had the capability of earning for himself a place in heaven. But when sin entered in, Adam and Eve lost their original righteousness, holiness, and goodness. Therefore, they and all their children lost the capability of earning for themselves a place in heaven. That's what happened. Sin has so stripped the soul of man of righteousness and holiness that now, as a poor sinner, he is completely incapable of meriting for himself a place in heaven. Completely incapable. He's so poor in sin. He's so weak in sin. He's been so depraved by sin that man now cannot earn for himself a place in heaven. Romans 3:12 declares, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And that doesn't mean that there's no one that does good in this world. There's lots of people who do good deeds. But it's speaking about there's none that is able to do good that will earn for them a place in God's heaven. None. I know that men would grasp this. You need to grasp this today. If you're unsaved, there is no possible way that you can earn for yourself a place in heaven. You might think you're a respectable person. You might think you're a religious person, a good Protestant, whatever else you like to add up to that. But let me tell you this on the authority of Scripture. You will never, ever be able to earn for yourself a place in God's heaven. Never. That is impossible. That cannot be done by a sinful man or woman. That cannot happen. This then is another reason why Christ was born. Not only to save his people from the punishment of sin, but also to save them from the poverty of their sin. As the Lord Jesus lived as a man amongst men, he lived that life that no other man could ever live. He lived a sinless life. A life that was perfectly holy and righteous and good in every way. Indeed, Christ lived the only life that was worthy to obtain heaven. This is the life that Christ lived. A life that was good enough to earn heaven. To earn eternal life. This is why Christ was born, to live this life. Not for himself, but to earn for all that would believe in him a place in heaven. This is why he came into this world. This is why he was born as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. This is why he took our humanity and lived that perfect life. To earn for his people a place in heaven. The right to heaven. This is what he did as he lived in this world as a man amongst men. Therefore, Christ was born to save sinners from the poverty of sin. To earn for them eternal life. The birth of the Lord Jesus was then one of great joy because of its purpose. Because of its purpose. He was born to save his people from their sin. Think of those words. Born to save his people from their sin. From the punishment of their sin. From the poverty of their sin. He came to be our Savior. Therefore, what joy. What joy this ought to fill our hearts with as we think of Christ's coming. He was the promised one. And he came for this great purpose. That he might save us from eternal ruin and earn for us the right to heaven. Let me just ask you in closing today. Christ came to be our Savior. Is he your Savior? Is he your Savior? It's not enough to merely know of Christ. There's lots of people know of Christ and yet they're not saved. Indeed, the devils know of Christ. They believe many things about the Lord Jesus. The devils believe that Christ was born. That he died on the cross and that he rose again from the dead. And yet they're not saved. Devils believe this. You see, to enter into and enjoy the salvation that Christ came into this world to bring, it is essential that you do that which the shepherds did the night they heard the good news of the Savior's birth. That you, like them, seek Christ until you come to know him personally as your Savior and Lord. This is what is so essential. This is what is so needful. Not knowing these things. Of course, it's important to know them. But it's responding to those things. The birth of Christ is good tidings of great joy to all people. But it's vital that you respond to these good tidings by faith. And trust in Christ as your Savior. This is so vital. This is so important. And let me say this today. If you have never done this, if you as a sinner have never humbled yourself before God and recognize that you're a sinner under punishment and so poor that you cannot earn a place in heaven, that you do this day. I plead with you, do it this day. Christ came into this world to save his people from their sin. He's the promised one, the one God promised to man. For this great purpose. Don't despise the Savior. Don't reject him. Don't die in your sin and be lost. When there is a Savior. come to him this very day, faith and repentance, and know the great joy, the blessed joy, the eternal joy of God's salvation. I trust that you will. May God be pleased to bless his truth to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen and amen.